Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, CBD, with you. Hey, the excitement and pageantry of Thursday Night Football comes to Cleveland on October 3rd when the Cleveland Browns take on the Buffalo Bills at 8:25 at First Energy Stadium. For available tickets, call 1-800-745-3000 or visit clevelandbrowns.com. Going to be an exciting night. Jim Brown honored in the Ring of Honor, finally, officially. And mentioned earlier that I had an opportunity to join him in Canton today at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, shooting a video feature that is going to air in the days leading up to that game. Great, great stuff. Looking forward to that. You call us at 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Going to have a conversation coming up with Ataba Rubin back in the lineup for the Browns. Jameer Howerton's going to be doing that with Ataba. Meanwhile, let's go, if he's still there, how about Don in Olmsted with us, in Olmsted Township? Hey, Don.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm an old-time Browns fan, having been there in attendance in 1950 when they won, in 64 when they won, and also just having got out of the Army in 54 in the best championship game I ever saw, 54-10. But I agree with you guys that they should give a flyer to Josh Gordon and keep him. They got everything to gain and nothing to lose. But the thing I wanted to ask is, you know, they've been criticizing Schwartz on the right side of the line. Am I correct? Wasn't last year, didn't he make the all-rookie team? And if so, I think he's been trying to compensate for Cousins' problems and why he's getting ripped apart. Now, having said that, I'd like to hear what you guys have to say, and I'll hang up. Thank you.
First of all, awesome to hear. Lifelong Browns fan. Yeah. Been around for a while, and certainly some good observations there. Yes, Mitchell Schwartz was great last year. One of the top-rated pass blockers in the NFL. This year hasn't been so good, but I will say this. He's gotten better every single week. So hopefully that will continue. That's a trend that will continue. And actually had his first positive grade this week, only allowed one sack, three in week one, two in week two. So he is improving, and I think, you know, you can correlate his improvement along with Anil Cousins right next to him. It's a different offense for Mitchell Schwartz. It's not as quick. I do think he was helped by the fact, though, that Brian Hoyer did get the ball out so quickly, 2.4 seconds in the game against Minnesota, and that certainly helped him. But, you know, there are times in the NFL, I remember, and I know it's not the same position, Michael Clayton down in Tampa Bay as a rookie had 1,300 yards receiving, had a monster rookie season, then never had another good season in the NFL. So sometimes that happens. But I saw things from Mitchell, and I'll be curious to get your take, because I know where you come out on Mitchell Schwartz. But I thought he looked better in this game against the Minnesota Vikings.
I think the whole line did, for sure. The overall protection was better. It still wasn't stellar, but better. And I think he understands he has to lift his game up. The observation is, well, he's got to do a lot to maybe help the right guard position. That's actually not entirely true, because the way their blocking is designed, the tight end comes in and does a lot more to offer that type of help. He's in a position where, in many cases, he's on an island. He's got to handle his business, Schwartz does, and you rely on the other guys to kind of do their thing, and it depends on the type of front you're facing. The Bengals, Mike Zimmer's defense, they're going to come at it from all – first of all, they're going to come at it with a defensive line in front, Geno Atkins and company, that can just overpower you, that can just do the types of things. I mean, what we saw in that first game with – a Cameron Wake, who was literally taking out both guys on the right side, both Schwartz and O'Neal Cousins, and doing spin moves to get around him and just using his great athleticism and combination of strength and power. Those kinds of things were problematic, and they're going to be problematic, I think, from an interior standpoint with Atkins and the rest of this defense and how schematically Zimmer tries to play this. And here's the other thing to consider. There's much more known now about Brian Hoyer as a quarterback than there was prior to that last game. Now, Zimmer has something to refer to. He has a point of reference. And to say, well, he could have looked at the minimal stuff he did preseason in other games and picked up things, yeah, and he will look at those. But nothing like yesterday's game, Sunday's game, working behind that protection, working with those receivers, working within that scheme. So his tendencies, and there's a lot of revelation there that will be used against him by the Bengals defensive coaching staff.
It certainly will, and you can just hope improvement. Let's get to competency and shore that thing down there on the right side, and I think the Browns will be in much better.
To competency, is that what we said,
that's
right?
That's what we're looking
for.
That
was our August agenda.
That was our August agenda. And listen, for 1 week we had it.
Willie in Clearwater, Florida. Bring us a competent call here, Willie.
Oh, yes. Hi. Good morning. I just wanted to make a comment about Brandon Whedon. Now, I know there's a lot of fans that are comparing them to, but at the same time, they're not taking the fact that Gordon, he wasn't playing. You had O'Neal Cousins, who was playing horrible. And also, who else? So Schwartz was basically getting manhandled the whole game. Now, Brandon Whedon played the Minnesota Vikings, who have a suspect secondary. The game wouldn't even been close, you know? And with Brian Hoyer, if he would have played the first two games,
right,
he would have had no time to throw. He would have been looking like, I can't even explain. But he would have had no time to throw.
Willie, here's the thing. I appreciate your perspective. And it's, you know, the would-haves and should-haves and what could have been, might have been, with Brandon and Josh Gordon, and Nathan has brought this up a lot. You know, you hate, that's the one thing you've wanted to see, and I do too. And then you bring up the protection, and that's fair to raise that question because it has struggled. But one of the conclusions this coaching staff made in picking Hoyer and in putting together the game plan and the scheme for Minnesota, what was taken into account very heavily was how Hoyer would get rid of the ball faster, process faster, work faster. And it begs the question of whether Whedon, you know, could and would do the same thing. How much, you know, how much of that could have been avoided, some of the issues that happened in these first two games from a pressure standpoint and from Whedon just handling things in the pocket, the deeper coverage that the Dolphins played, that the Ravens played to discourage his looks downfield or to make him hesitate looking downfield. And that was where they felt, those defenses felt, they could have the edge. And again, different quarterbacks handle it different ways. You could do the check down thing, you could do the challenge thing and risk the interception. In many instances, you will see if you watch the tape, he's going to hold back. And all you hold back just once, and that's enough for pressure to get to you. And again, some of it is our receivers getting that separation. Well, deeper, they're not going to because teams just said, we're not giving you anything back here. Take all you want up front and in front of us. And that's where maybe the accuracy issues were, where they were counting on him to throw the intermediate or shorter pass at 60, 70 miles an hour and not get caught, you know, or have the ball bounce off somebody's hands.
Right. And, you know, the quickness with which Brian Hoyer gets the ball out right now is the differentiating factor. And I think defenses maybe are going to play him differently, which allows him to do that. You're right. I still think it's unfortunate, but I don't think we've seen the last of Brandon Whedon as a quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. I don't know if Brian Hoyer has what it takes to go the next 14 games, or the next 13 games, I'm sorry, as the starting quarterback for the Browns. I hope he does. If they decide to start him in week number four, I hope he continues to play well. Why wouldn't you want to see that? That would be fantastic. But
It's a big question. It's a big question.
It's not a foregone conclusion at this point that we're not going to see Whedon. And if you do see Whedon again, you'll get to see him with Josh Gordon.
Right.
And then we'll really find out what Whedon's got. Because I think right now everybody in this organization would love to say that Brian Hoyer could develop into the franchise quarterback. But I don't think there's anybody here that is going with that expectation. I think you're trying to find out right now who is going to be the backup for the guy that is drafted to lead this team for the foreseeable future and hopefully for the long term. And I think that's what we're looking for right now. And what you should be looking for right now are your tickets for Thursday night football when it comes to Cleveland on October the 3rd. The Browns take on the Buffalo Bills at 8:25 p.m. Eastern at First Energy Stadium. Tickets are still available. Call 1-800-745-3000 or visit clevelandbrowns.com. Let's pack that stadium and make a lot of noise. This is the Browns on national TV, people. Thursday night football. Browns, Bills.
Rookie quarterback E.J. Manuel coming to town that night. You got to make it harder for him. You got to give him issues. And I mean, there's a kid who, and again, I think he's going to be, I like him personally. Had a chance to spend a lot of time with him before the draft. He's a very likable guy, smart guy, and a lot of talent there. But, you know, they couldn't overcome a 20-penalty game by the Jets. A 20-penalty game. 20 put your head around
did
that.
Did you
number.
Watch some of the throws that he made?
I did.
He kind of almost just chucks it without even looking where he's throwing the ball down the field.
It got like that desperate feel. I was able to watch a good portion of the game on the way back from Minnesota. They on the had DirecTV on the flight on the team charter going back. So a lot of us were watching that, and it was kind of hard to watch because I said, all right, is he going to be able to do it again? And he got in those circumstances. They got beat up too, but whatever. The noise factor, the pass rush factor. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's see what happens Sunday against the Bengals before we allow okay. ourselves to go too far into, to week number five. We're into week four. You see how fast the season goes?
It flies.
Isn't it fine?
No, it does.
Quarter
fly.
Of the way through the season Sunday.
Yeah.
Quarter of the way.
25% for those keeping score and percentage.
All right. Jameer Howerton is sitting down with
Inside the Locker Room.
Ataba Rubin. That's coming up next. Yeah, we like it too. Vic Nathan, CBD.